As always, I hope you've kept that part of the Bible or your Bible app open. Let me pray and we'll spend a few moments thinking through the passage. Father, we've just rejoiced in song that you are rich in mercy. Please remind us of that from this your word. Amen. Have you ever turned down an invitation that you'd later wished that you'd accepted? A friend of mine certainly has. Quite a few years ago, my friend bumped into Tommy Emmanuel in a Sydney guitar shop. Tony Emmanuel, widely regarded as one, if not the greatest acoustic guitarist in Australia. My friend obviously hit it off with him because they ended up having a jam session together in the shop, at the end of which Tommy Emmanuel gave my friend his phone number and said to him, give him a call anytime if he wanted some tips on playing. My friend never did get around to calling. And every now and then, Phil still wonders, man, what if? What if I'd actually accepted that invitation? Wonder where I'd be. In this morning's Bible reading, Jesus tells a parable about some other people who are also turned down an invitation. It comes as the climactic moment of the whole passage. And even though Jesus intends the story to be a warning for its original hearers, it was a warning to not be so self-absorbed as to turn down an invitation into the kingdom of God. For you and I, as New Testament Christians listening in on this, it's actually a parable that points to something very exciting about God and our role as a church. Let's see how, by thinking about this parable in terms of its setting, its storyline, and then finally its significance for you and I. Firstly, though, the setting. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. Now, immediately, we, the reader, should be suspicious of this whole setting. Like, we're rejoining Luke's gospel with Jesus making his way to Jerusalem. Back in turn one, we started the trip in chapter 9. And along the way to Jerusalem, Jesus has been amazing people with his teaching and his miracles. He's been recruiting people to come along on the trip with him to spread the news about him. But also along the way, there's been this growing tension between Jesus and the religious leaders of the day. People like the Pharisees, they've been getting just more and more annoyed by what Jesus has been saying and more jealous of all the crowds that are flocking to him. And yet here in the opening sentence of today's reading, Jesus is at a meal in the house of a prominent Pharisee. Smells a little fishy. Especially verse 1 mentions it's a Sabbath, and that Jesus has been carefully watched. Add to that the next verse that says that a man with abnormal swelling is there. That's an unusual sort of person for a prominent Pharisee to have in their place. We should be smelling a Sabbath setup job here. Because on multiple occasions already, even in just the previous chapter, the Pharisees have ripped into Jesus for healing people on a Sabbath. This is looking more and more like a trap. And they are using this poor fellow as bait, as an excuse to again get stuck into Jesus, try and put a dent in his popularity. Jesus, however, as you would have noticed, he's not fazed in the slightest. There is no way these jokers are going to intimidate Jesus out of helping someone who needs it. Jesus asked the Pharisees and the experts in the law, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? And they remain silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way. And then he asked them, if one of you has a child or even an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out? And they said, nothing. They are a miserable bunch of people. Twice he asks them a question. Twice their silence betrays who they really are. Jesus is sharing a meal with a pack of selfish, self-absorbed, self-righteous socialites. And Jesus now calls them out on it. In verse 7, he notices how they love rushing for the seats of honour, and so he tells them a short parable about needing to be humble. He follows it up in the next few verses by reminding them not to simply invite your friends and important people to dinner party. Show more kindness than that. That's how the kingdom of God operates. That in turn prompts someone to say how great the kingdom of God will be. And it's there at that point that Jesus now drops this main parable into the conversation. He's at a party, up at a dinner party, with some self-absorbed people. So Jesus now tells a parable, also about a dinner party and some other self-absorbed people. Let's look at the storyline. A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, "Come, everything's ready now." Okay, I realize this parable, it's quite a well-known one. Maybe you've heard it before. Let me just point out a couple of interesting points. For starters, notice in verse 17 that the host is not preparing just a banquet. This is a great banquet. This is not a casual thrown together meal. The guy is going to a lot of trouble, as evidenced by the fact that he has pre-invited many guests. The custom back then when you had a banquet is very similar to the way we often do wedding receptions. So invitations go out ahead of time. Everyone then responds and the family knows how many people are therefore coming, so they get all the food and drink ready for that. So there when it says that the servants now go out to those invited to tell them to come on in, everyone's ready, they're probably heading off to see people who have RSVP'd to say that they are coming. That makes what follows completely indefensible. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, "I've bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I've just bought 5 of oxen and I'm on my way to try them. Please excuse me." Still another said, "I just got married, so I can't come." These are incredible rejections. I mean, even putting aside the fact that these are people who have probably RSVP'd to say that they were coming and they pulled the plug at the last minute, the excuses that they're giving are paper thin. Who buys a field without first having a look at it? Who buys one, let alone 5 yoke of oxen without first checking them out? This is the equivalent of the best man ringing up the groom a couple of hours before the wedding and saying, "Look, I'm not going to be able to make it now. I've just bought 5 secondhand cars off Facebook Marketplace and I need to organise a mechanic to go and have a look at them." What sort of reason is that? It's either saying that their friendship is so little, means so little to him that it's not as important as a sight unseen secondhand car, or else it's just a straight-up lie. And he can't even be bothered coming up with a decent excuse. The third person is even worse. At least the first two are civil enough to tack on a "please excuse me" at the end. The third guy just says, "I can't come." Not even a token apology. Shuts the door in the servant's face. These are insultingly rude rejections. The servant came back and reported this to his master. And then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets, the alleys of the town. Bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame." "Sir, what you've ordered has been done, but there's still room." And the master told his servant, "Go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full." We've just heard some incredible rejections. We now shift the attention to incredulous acceptances. As the host sends the servants out to invite the most unlikely of townsfolk to start with. The cripple in the town, the blind in the town, the poor in the town. Even that's not enough. So in verse 23, he sends his servants out of the town, out onto the roads, out onto the country lanes to gather even the most unlikely of people. Complete strangers who are passing by are now invited in. This is a host who wants his house as full as possible, even to the point of telling his servants to compel them to come in verse 23. And by that, he's not telling his servants to force the people in. It's the idea now of urging them, convincing them, pleading with them, begging with them, because they probably won't believe that they've even got an invitation. It's like the person who gets a phone call to say they've won lotto. You know, and they're thinking, no way, come on, this can't be true. Joe, is that you? Are you pulling my leg? This can't really be happening. The lotto office actually says it takes a lot of convincing over the phone to get people to believe they've won. That's the thought here. All these people, beggars in the street, travellers on country roads, they get stopped and asked to come to this magnificent banquet, and they'd be like, no way, come on, this is a joke. But the host says, compel them. Tell them it's true. Convince them. I really want you at my place. I want you to enjoy all this. Mind you, not everyone's welcome. The punchline to the whole story drops in verse 24. I tell you, not one of those who are invited will get a taste of my banquet. It's a jarring end to the story. And I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist to figure out what Jesus is getting at here. Remember the setting? Jesus is at a meal with a miserable bunch of self-absorbed Pharisees. People who rudely rush for the seats of honour. People who look down on the sick and awkward as nothing more than bait for one of their traps. People who are so full of themselves that their only interest in Jesus is to get him to do what they want him to do. And so Jesus is at a dinner party, and he tells a story about a dinner party. And he's surrounded by self-absorbed people, and he tells a story about self-absorbed people so as to make the point that they are so not the type of people who will be in the kingdom of God. Because God's kingdom runs on humility and kindness. And if we are not those things, then just like the original invitees of the parable, we will be at the risk of not even valuing the invitation to be in the kingdom in the first place. Just like the Pharisees, who just don't get Jesus. They don't value him. Which at one level, if need be, I hope you're hearing the warning of that. It's the warning of being so preoccupied with ourselves and our own little world that we end up treating other people, maybe even Jesus, with selfish rudeness. That is not how the kingdom of God operates. But for us as New Testament Christians, listening in on this warning that Jesus gives to the Pharisees, can I suggest that the significance of the parable for us is actually a bit more encouraging and exciting? Because if there is anything in the parable that eclipses the selfishness of the original people invited, it's the determined generosity of the host. And that despite all the rude rejections, he doesn't give up. He doesn't throw his hands in the air and call the whole banquet off in disgust. No, no, he's absolutely determined to have a banquet. Sorry, a great banquet. That's God. Open-handed, rich in mercy, generous, absolutely determined to gather people to himself. And he will search high and low for that to happen. It's the whole reason Jesus is even on his way to Jerusalem, isn't it? When he gets there, he's going to give up his life so we can be forgiven. We can be restored to God. An invitation into God's kingdom gets even put into our hands. And it's not fake news. It's not too good to be true. It's a hand-on-heart pledge from the God of all the universe that no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how many times we've done it, there's an invitation for forgiveness. There's an invitation to sit with Jesus in the kingdom of God. And as we start a new term, it's actually a timely reminder for what we are on about as a church and what actually our focus is for this year. Because back in January, remember on our launch Sunday, we shared the idea of being a church that shares God's passion to invite anyone and everyone into the kingdom, of not just being a community of people who are saved, but being a community who are helping others be saved as well. That's why this year our ministry focus is to actively be inviting people to discover Jesus. Remember this infographic? It listed some of the key BPC-wide encouragements and opportunities that we're having this year. There's still copies of them out in the foyer. Some of the activities we've already had. Some of them are still to come. They include things like the Bathurst Winter Festival. We really want to make more of that opportunity to reach into our community this year, to share the news about Jesus. But today's return to Luke's gospel and hearing this parable from Jesus, it's a great reminder of why we're doing any of this in the first place. It's because our God is a wonderfully generous host, and he wants to fill his house. And so when we're down the street and we see crowds of people and we feel inconvenience, God sees hundreds of people who he once invited into the kingdom. And when we skim over the weekly email and we barely notice the needs for SRE teachers or Kids for Jesus helpers, God sees opportunities for boys and girls to be invited into his kingdom. And when Bathurst Council puts on a winter festival and our government holds holidays at Easter and we see opportunities to relax and have fun, God sees opportunities to invite. Because our God is a generous host. He's determined to fill his house. In the Academy of Fine Arts in Venice, there is a painting by Veronossi. It's a bit hard to tell on the screen, but it's a painting that got him into a lot of trouble with the Spanish Inquisition. The painting has Jesus at a banquet with his disciples. But as well as that, there are Roman soldiers. There's a few drunks. There's a guy with a bloody nose from a fight. Shady-looking characters lurking around in the background. Veronossi was dragged before the Inquisition and asked to explain why he had included those people in the painting. He defended himself by saying that in the Bible, that's exactly the sort of people Jesus mingled with. The Inquisition was scandalized. They ordered him to change the title of the painting and to alter it so that Jesus wouldn't be in it anymore. And in so doing, they made exactly the same mistake as the Pharisees in today's reading. They failed miserably to understand the heart of God. We don't ever want to do that here. For our God is wonderfully generous. He is determined to fill his house. I'll pray. Father, thank you for this passage. Thank you for reminding us of your open-hearted generosity. Thank you that even we have been invited into your kingdom. Father, we pray that we might be a church community who shares that invitation. Amen.